Let us pray. Light of Christ, shine deep, very deep within us, and then shine before our path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I want you please to turn back to page 7 in the service leaflet. The anthem by Richard Lloyd. The first verse. View me, Lord, a work of thine. Shall I then lie drowned in night? Might thy grace in me but shine, I should seem made all of light. I will confess to you all that I did not review the music before the worship today. I'm sorry. But then it came as an even more wonderful gift to hear and to read these words. And I want to share with you first this profound truth that inasmuch as we allow voices of accusation to deepen in us a sense of unworthiness, then our path will always be one of darkness. It is as we take our birthright as daughters and sons of God, it is as we accept and believe and rejoice in our worthiness that we are a work, a creation of our beloved Christ, that light shines deeply within us. And then from that position of being enlightened deeply, we then share that light with all those with whom we live and move and have our being. And that could be sermon enough. But I prepared another sermon, so here goes. Now, will you think me mad or silly if I tell you that sometimes I talk to, in fact, sometimes shout at, characters on the television, as if they could hear me? And one regular situation that provokes such behavior is when I'm watching a thriller or a creepy movie, when Wendy allows it, and the character moves into a dark house or a dark corridor or a dark room. And they walk out, they walk in without even an attempt to find the light switch. And this provokes the insane in me, and I cry out to them, turn on the light. Good Friday, post-crucifixion, Holy Saturday pre-vigil is one of those times when I feel the urgent need to shout out, turn on the light. The utter, wretched pathos of Good Friday is past. And earlier this day, the exhilarating triumph of Easter is yet to be. But meanwhile, there is that ennui, boredom, tedium of Holy Saturday. Please, someone, turn on the light. Now, I have an idea which is based on personal as well as pastoral experience that much of our lives is spent in Holy Saturday mode. We manage, by and large, to escape heart-wrenching suffering. But neither do we constantly enjoy wild and frenzied moments of delight and exuberant joy. And it is because of this that my friendship with vigil services has not been one of unbridled affection. Because I used to feel that they robbed me of staying in Holy Saturday mode. But patient and constant clerical colleagues have helped me grasp the truth that holy, effervescent light insists on breaking in and erupting into my melancholy love affair with Holy Saturday. Thanks be to God. The vigil service presents to us this great truth that even in what we experience as utter darkness, God creates a new light. In a flooded, drowning world, the sun causes the rainbow to banish darkness and establish new hope. In a valley reeking of death and decay, light comes to announce renewal. And this vigil service presents to us another great truth. You and I are to be lit from that fiery light and then be carriers of light into a world that is often overwhelmed and beset and submerged by darkness. We are so needed by the world to be carriers of the Christ light. Sometimes we do it in gentle ways, as we offer a word of encouragement or gratitude, or simply to pay attention is to give light to another person. But then there are also those triumphal ways when we have opportunity to witness to another person the light that is within us. And so the women get good press in the gospel story at the end. And so the women in Matthew's gospel behold the Lord of light, ablaze with light, and receive this charge, now carry this, even to Galilee. Now, I know not the liturgical reason why we stop three times in procession to declare the light of Christ, thanks be to God. Maybe it's Trinitarian. Probably my rector will inform me after this service. But you know, it struck me today that this stopping and starting resonates with me in carrying the light. For it expresses my discipleship. I start, I stop, I start, I stop, I start, I stop. But all the time, in the economy and the hands of God, I'm moving forward. And thanks be to God, I do this in community. And that lighting of candles from one person to another is no mere logistical device so that you all get your candle lit. This speaks eloquently of our need to give light and to receive light from another person. In the midst of this church, fully alight and fully alive, I am, and I feel bold and strong enough to remind myself and you of the dark places that I have carried. Deep within. The dark places into which we often have to move. Not just as individuals, but as families, as communities, as nations. But then that glorious verse of John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never understand and never overcome it. And so as a colleague of mine reminded me in a vigil some years back, we become members of a blessed society, SOTO, Society of the Overwhelmed. the powerful light of resurrection has invaded even the darkest of places. Death and hell and judgment and abandonment. And this powerful light, as it wrestles with darkness, has almost in a moment announced victory. It is our joy to celebrate this light. It is our vocation to carry this light. The light of Christ. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.